continue this morning in our summer snapshots, remembering that a snapshot is just a moment in time that's captured in the form of a picture that allows you to go right back to that moment to remember where you were, who was with you, perhaps what it smelled like, what it tasted like, what it felt like to be there in that moment. I am loving some of your snapshots that you're taking with Flat Jesus. I'm loving the travels of Flat Jesus and the snapshots that are capturing that moment in time where you are taking in the abundant joys of summertime. So thank you for letting Flat Jesus travel along with you. This morning, our scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. I invite you to join me there if you wish, Matthew chapter 14. We are hearing a familiar text this morning, but I invite us to hear it with fresh ears and see it through fresh eyes as we hear God's word speak to us again. Will you hear now from Matthew chapter 14? When Jesus had heard this, and the heard this is that John the Baptist had died, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate that day were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. I love a good picnic. I love a good picnic, and there is nothing better than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on a picnic. There's something about it. If you make that peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your kitchen and you eat it right then, it's all right. But if you put it in a Ziploc bag or in a throwaway container or some sort of Tupperware, and you pack it in your picnic basket and you take it on a picnic and you open it up a little later in the day, it's really good. It's really good. There's something delicious about being on a picnic and having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and perhaps having a bag of chips and then finishing it off with some watermelon. Something delicious on a picnic. There's something else that always happens on a picnic. You always pack plenty of food. You pack plenty of food because you might be really, really hungry when lunch happens. You might be a little more hungry later in the afternoon. Or then you never know who might show up for that picnic. At my house, we used to always pack our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches cut in little squares, so the sandwich got cut into 4 squares. And my mother would make many, many, many sandwiches, remembering that we only had 3 people in our family, my mom, my dad, and me, and we would be ready for this picnic, and it would look like this entire congregation was going with us on the picnic. But those little tiny sandwiches came in handy because whoever we might encounter on that picnic, there was plenty for them. Today, Jesus has gone on a picnic. I want to set the stage for us, though, about this picnic that Jesus ends up on. He actually didn't set out for a picnic at all. Jesus set out on a journey to get away. He learned that his cousin had died. He learned that he needed to get away from the crowds that were encroaching in on him so that he could get away and grieve, so that he could get away and cry and process what loss was to him. And so he got on a boat and went to a deserted place. And then he realized it wasn't so deserted after all, because everybody came with him. You see, Jesus went away to grieve, and they followed him. They wondered perhaps where he was going, what he was doing. Perhaps they wanted to offer their tender, loving care and sympathy to Jesus. And so they followed and went with him. And Jesus, being the Jesus that he is, had compassion and showed love to these crowds that gathered around him. He even healed some of the sick that were among the crowd. And then it became late in the day, and the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, our stomachs are starting to growl. We're getting a little hungry. Don't you think it's time that we send these people back to town so they can buy their own supper?" Maybe the disciples were hoping that Jesus was going to take them out for some sort of fancy dinner if he got rid of all the crowds. And so the disciples hope that the crowds are going to go back to the town and buy their own supper, buy their own dinner. And Jesus says, "Absolutely not. Let them stay right here." "But Jesus, we only have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. "No big deal. Bring them to me." And so the disciples bring what they have, and that's 5 loaves and 2 fish. The crowds are asked to sit down. "Sit down for this picnic. Won't you stay a while? Join me on my blanket," says Jesus. And he takes those loaves of bread and those fish. He lifts them up to heaven and he blesses them in Jesus' name. And then he says to the disciples, "Go and feed them. Go and share this food with them." And so they do. And the disciples eat and the crowd eats. And they've eaten and eaten and eaten till they can eat no more at this delicious picnic of bread and fish. Somehow peanut butter and jelly sounds better to me. But they've eaten all that they can possibly eat. And they come back to Jesus. "We're all full now, Jesus." And they look around. And the crowds are gathering up what's left. The crowds start to pick up that leftover bread and that leftover fish, and they put it into baskets, 12 baskets, in fact. 12 baskets, perhaps, that are ready for the next picnic. Friends, this story can be seen through many different eyes and through many different angles. This morning, I want you to think of it through the eyes of the crowd. You're part of the crowd. You've started to come when Jesus has tried to go away, and you're there, you're following along, and maybe you're saying, "This is going to be the time that I'm going to see Jesus do something miraculous." Or maybe you're saying, "I want to be there so I can wrap my arms around Jesus in the midst of his grief." Or maybe you're saying, "If he's really God, then certainly he's not going to cry at the death of a loved one." So you're going to just be curious. You're wondering what's happening. And so you follow Jesus. And you're there when your stomach begins to growl. And you're there when you see Jesus take 5 little loaves of bread and 2 seemingly small fish and hold them up to God. And then you see in a few minutes how you end up with some food in your hands. And you are eating and enjoying that picnic. That bread and that fish had never tasted so good as it did that day on the picnic with Jesus. That's where you are in the story. You're one of the crowd. And you learn an important lesson that day. You learn an important lesson of that snapshot in time, all gathered around the picnic blanket. You learn that grace says, you are important. In fact, at the heart of this story is a message about God's grace. And so you learn sitting around that picnic blanket that grace says you are important. All that happened was these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish were held up to heaven and they were blessed and they were broke and they were shared with all that have gathered there. 5,000 men, the scripture says, plus the women and the children. So many more than 5,000 were gathered. And you were one of those. And you learned that grace says you are important. You see, there was no condition that happened in order that you received food that day. You were just there. You were there on that blanket. You were present with the Jesus, the Christ. And God's grace said that was enough. Enough for you to be nourished and fed. God's grace that day didn't ask what your political ideology was, what your theology was. God's grace that day didn't ask if you'd sinned or you were sinning right then. God's grace didn't ask if you'd been married 10 times and you were sleeping with someone else on that particular day. God's grace didn't ask what you thought about, what you believed about. God's grace asked none of that. You simply were fed that day because you were there. God's grace. God's grace says you, my friends, are important. All of you, every single one of you, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of the nation that you originated from, regardless of your sexuality, regardless of your gender, regardless of any of your preferences, God says that you are important. That's why in the United Methodist Church, we practice what we call an open table. An open table, our communion table, that says each and every one of you are invited to come. Our youngest among us don't have to go through some sort of formal training in order to be invited to our table. They're simply invited to come. John Wesley called communion a converting ordinance, a time in someone's life where they could be converted into the faith. And we take that on and say that you don't even have to have it all right in terms of your faith with God. You're simply invited to come because you're here and because God's grace says you are important. All are invited. All are welcome. The other thing as part of the crowd that you learned that day is that God's grace is abundant. God's grace is abundant because when God took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, they fed over 5,000 people and there still were leftovers. And not just a couple of leftovers that fit in one small Tupperware container. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers. These leftovers were gathered up by the crowd. They is what were the words we find in the text. They that were there that day gathered up the leftovers. They held in their hands in 12 baskets full the abundance of God's grace. God's grace is abundant. You know, my family and I spent this last week at Holden Beach. Many of us call it our happy place. It's a place that we spend almost every summer, and we go there with my mother's family. And so this year, there were 17 of us in one house. Some of us were missing this year for various reasons, but there were 17 of us there that spent the entire week together. And there was always an abundance of food. And in fact, I would imagine that there was an abundance of food at every house that found its way on the shore of that coastline of North Carolina called Holden Beach. And that's where some United Methodist church and some United Methodist person who was part of the crowd got the idea that they should start a ministry from that abundance of food that found its way at Holden Beach. It's called a second helping. A second helping, and it's in its 12th year of ministry. And at the end of the island on Saturday morning, starting at 7 a.m., that ministry is there with this little sign that says, "Second helping, drop off here." And what vacationers are invited to do is to take their leftovers from the week. You know, the leftovers that happen after a week at the beach. A partial bottle of ketchup. A loaf of bread that's 3/4 there and a little smashed. That gallon of milk that you thought you were going to drink and didn't get around to it because it was much better to have ice cream for breakfast in the morning. Well, the second helping takes that abundance. They take that abundance, those leftovers, and they take that and share it with residents who are food insecure in Brunswick County. God's grace is abundant. God's grace is abundant like that, in such a way that those 12 baskets of leftovers were collected in order that they could be shared. So friends, the message for those of you sitting in the crowd this morning, and that's all of us, is for us to find the abundance of God's grace around us and find our friends and neighbors who may not just be food insecure, but they may literally be insecure in their life. And to find a way to share the abundance of God's grace with them. Those of us in the crowd that have been nourished and fed by God's abundant grace are invited to share that with someone else. In a few moments, we'll celebrate the mystery of Holy Communion. The mystery of Holy Communion that's an expression of the fullness of God's grace. It's our reminder. It's our reminder that God loved us enough. And God said we were important enough that he sent his son, Jesus, to live and die for us and for our salvation. And this morning, the bread will be lifted to heaven, blessed and broke. And we will receive a little bit of God's grace as a reminder to us that we are important, that we are beloved, and that God's grace is abundant enough to reach all the world. And so we'll take that little bit of our picnic lunch today. And we'll leave here and go into the streets of Gastonia and find our ways in the highways and byways of life, where we are called to share the abundance of God's grace with the world living around us. You are important. You are invited. You are called to go and share God's grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.